Is it one kind of an understanding of, you know, my Guru Maharaj is like.
Excuse me?
My Guru Maharaj is.
Your Guru Maharaj.
We're like, I'm in constant contact with him on this whole process. You know, and he advised me, one of the first things he advised me was always maintain humility when you begin. When you're going basically to the path of Rag, he said, maintain humility. Don't think, now I'm more advanced than everybody. Because I'm thinking, but in that, maintaining that humility, sometimes it's difficult because other devotees kind of perceive that you're not being humble. Do you see what I'm saying? It's hard to explain, but I can understand.
That's the question.
Well, the question is how to
be humble.
Yeah. Well, you know.
How to have a proper PR so you really are humble, but you need a PR agency to convince everybody that you're really humble.
Well, no, but it's asking.
Somebody advertisements aren't working. Your indications and movements don't indicate the humility that you believe you have.
Yeah, I mean, you're feeling, because you do, you develop even more humility, you know, because you're progressing, but at the same time, there's a thing where, I think we talked about this once before also, sometimes you feel like maybe your association changes, see what I'm saying? Like maybe somebody you were associating with before, all of a sudden is not inspiring you, but you're not, you know, you don't want to.
Okay.
I don't know.
I guess as much as you understand, I understand. Humility, association, impressions, perceptions, others. How to integrate and synthesize and homogenize and make the whole thing work. It's correct. Your Gurudev was advising you to, in all circumstances, be in the position of humility and try your best to be humble in all your speech and actions and projections. It's very hard, it's impossible to control the perception of others. What people think of you, you can't control people's thinking. And they see according to their bhava. Everyone sees according to their bhava, atmanam manite jagat. They see according to their bhava. You can't change that. You have to know within yourself that if you feel sincerely within yourself that I'm humble and I'm trying to be humble, and but if somehow people misperceive your presentation or your behavior as something different than humility, that's not your problem, that's their problem. You should only worry about, do I really feel in my heart that I'm lower than a straw in the street? Do I really feel that everyone around me, every woman devotee around me, every man devotee, they're better than me? And do I really feel that I'm just nowhere, that I don't have a drop of love for Krishna, and I have no genuine realizations about Krishna? I just talk a lot and read a lot and sleep a lot and eat a lot, but actually serious bhajan and having meditative experiences, I don't have any. We should, even if we do, even we may have, But we should just feel I haven't anything. I remember once I met, several few times I've met, but there was someone, Baba from Mankutir. He's been in Mankutir about 50 years. And I think his name is Ramesh Baba, Mankutir. And I once came to him. He speaks English quite well, actually, if he wants to. Doesn't usually want to. Prefers Hindi, naturally, or Brajbhasha. He's a Brahmin from birth, a very exalted person, no doubt. Most people in Braj consider him Siddha saint or Siddha Mahatma, Siddha Purush. I would hanker just for a particle of dust of his feet. That would be my success, to get one particle of the dust of his feet. So I can't say anything but all glories. Jayate, jayate, to such illustrious personalities. But when I went there, I said, I paid dandavats, and we were speaking, I was leaving, I said, Baba, please bless me. Please give me your blessings. He said, why? And he said to me, why are you asking me for blessings? And I said, it's very clear to me that you're a great devotee of Radharani and a very advanced devotee of the Lord, and you've been blessed by the Lord, and I'm just a very, like a baby. I have nothing. I can't even crawl. So I really need your mercy. And then he said, some people say, I'm a great devotee. He said, I'm a very advanced devotee. They tell me that. I've heard this. Well, where is the advancement? Where do you see me crying? Am I crying now? Am I crying in separation from Radharani? Where are the symptoms? Where are my ecstatic symptoms? I don't see anything. Everyone's saying, so I'm not an advanced devotee. I'm not a devotee. It's hard to repeat it and present the same depth and effect of that exchange at that moment, sitting in his kutir on top of Man Kutir. I mean, his kutir and Man Mandir on the top of that Parvat, Man Parvat. Mangar is called Mangar. Gara means small mountain, small hill. Dangar, Mangar, Vilasgar. Different hills there, they have different names. Barsana. So this is the idea, is that we constantly looking at ourselves, and we're constantly kicking ourselves, kicking our mind for not remembering the leelas, and kicking our hearts for being so dry. And so if we're constantly endeavoring on our own humility program, in a genuine, thoughtful, contemplative way. And yet, despite our best efforts, if those in the marketplace and the mandir, they perceive something opposite or different, that's, what can we do? I can only say that. So the humility is, and then as far as you're advancing beyond the, you're growing more than the rate of your associates. Well, generally it's told that those that are a little lower than me, we try to help, and those that are equal to us, we share with. And those that are more advanced or understanding, then we try to learn from them or collect something from them. Collect something, you collect from seniors, you share with equals, and you give to the juniors. You collect, you share, share and relish, and you give. So if your friends are a little less than you, then you can help them if they're willing to be helped. Or otherwise, sometimes you just kind of gradually change your circle of friends or a circle of associates, or withdraw within yourself to exhibit a posture of solitude, and only occasionally going out seeking the most advanced association you can for your improvement. And then when you do by chance meet your old friends and they question you, oh, I haven't seen you, or you don't like us anymore, or where are you? You say, no, I like you very much and I have all regard for you. I'm just trying to be serious about my bhajan.
Whatever.
Oh, you think you're better than us, but I... So what can you do? It's best to always live alone and do bhajan. Social life and bhajan go ill together. You look at the people in ISKCON that are serious about bhajan and are famous for that. They lived alone. Or they, if they're not here anymore, they lived alone and did their studies and their chanting and writing, whatever. Or they're alive now, they're living alone here and there. And if they are mainline preachers in the public, they often, every year, they go off alone somewhere or with selected associates, spend a month of Kartik together in Govardhan with a group of like-minded devotees. So that friends and social arrangement, that's something you have to figure out. This is not something you can find exactly in the books of philosophy. Of our Siddhanta, they talk about selective association. In order, they say progress means elimination and acceptance. To make progress, you have to eliminate and accept. Drop off the old and accept the new. Sometimes the old is not conducive to the new. It's almost similar. It happens automatically. When you're an ordinary materialist, like many of us were, and we have a circle of friends that are very near and dear to us, but when we turn our face to Krishna and start associating with Krishna's devotees and start adopting their way of thinking and their way of seeing and acting and start behaving like devotees and doing the things that they do, suddenly our circle of friends, they start disappearing. They stop calling us, we stop calling them, they lose contact and interest in us, we lose contact and interest in them. Or you see someone, oh, I haven't seen you in a while, you might say, you're the devotee, and you see, oh, I figure you're busy with that Krishna thing now. You're doing that Krishna thing, so you probably don't have time for me. No, it's not like that, but you know, I'm pretty busy. I moved into a temple. I don't have much free time, but we can still get together. Okay, let's try. Yeah, next year, next month. You know? Then you try once or twice, and then you talk a little bit. And he talks, and then you don't agree with him, and he doesn't agree with you. And let's go get something to eat. And he says, eat this. And he says, oh, I can't eat here. There's nothing for me here, in this place. I can't eat this food, and I have to offer it. He said, oh, you're no fun, and all this that. So then pretty soon there you are, it's like you and the Krishnas. So it's always like that. Acceptance and progress means acceptance and elimination. So it's not that you come into the society of devotees, it's not a sin to eliminate. No, it's a little heavy word. I don't mean eliminate in the sense of exterminate. although that might be, thought of sometimes. If I sometimes would think if I had a ray gun when I was little, they used to talk about all these futuristic inventions that they have, that these people on other planets had a ray gun. I guess ray gun just means cell phone or something. But it generated enough waves of enough intensity that it would dematerialize someone. It's called dematerializing. So you aim the ray gun at someone, just shoots a ray, no noise, no boom, boom. And no mess, no fuss, no mess. the person just poof, disappears. I've seen many science fiction movies when I grew up. You never saw? The guy goes, ah, and then goes, poof. But we see that same thing as there in the Krishna book, in the Dwarka Leela with Shalva, or in Ramayana. Ramayana, Ravana would be fighting with Ram, and suddenly he would disappear. He's on a battlefield, and then he would be in the sky shooting arrows from his chariot. And then Ram would get his chariot and go up in the sky. That's there in the battle of Dwarkadish with Shalva. Shalva had a flying airship, SST, stealth bomber, and called Sorab. And he was sometimes an entire huge airplane with thousands of soldiers inside. He was flying all over, bombing, sounds like Americans bombing Iraq. Shalva was bombing Dwarka and Krishna Leela. And Krishna would go out to fight with him, and sometimes he'd become invisible and he'd laugh from the sky, ah, ha, ha. And Krishna would think, where is he, you know? So that was like the ultimate ray gun. You just, if you had that, you just, like they have these little, it's similar, they're getting to that point, they're working a lot with energies and things. They can have a little handheld battery-powered machine that gives off so many 100 million thousand electric current, you know, between two little diodes or something. And it's a little metal rod like this. And some dacoit comes to touch you or something, you know, and you jam it in his belly and he'll jump 5 feet back because he gets such a jolt. You know, they have such things. People use them on the dogs and monkeys. They also have them on a stick. They have like a cane. And then you just hit the dog and the dog will like jump back. They're illegal, but I know devotees have brought them into Vrindavan and they carry them with them. They even used them once. One time, one godbrother, a known person, godbrother and his wife were walking in Prickamark. It was like not so late, dusk or so. And some people came. Three guys came that were just going to finish him off and rob them and enjoy his wife or whatever. So then some fight started and then there was three of them against him, and somehow he had that with him, and he made like a punch, and he went, hit the guy in the belly, and then the guy just, he fell back and landed on his back, you know, like he's like electric chair, you know. And then he was like dazed, and then the other guy said, "Wow, this guy knows kung fu or something," because he just went like this. He just like look, he hit him in the belly, and the guy went flying back 5 feet. So they ran away, and dropped their pocketbook or something. Huh. It's a true story. It's wild. He's American, by the way. Makes sense. They have all these kind of wild things. Why, you're probably not American.
No.
Russian or whatever, something like that. But look like someone like that. But they're pretty wild with all these kind of bombs and things. You know? Anyway, we're not advising you to get rid of your unwanted devotees like that. But we're just saying that you have to somehow mentally and emotionally, you know, send off the electric vibes, 100,000 vibes that you know, stay clear, don't bother me. Don't mess with the U.S., as they say in the 1970s on bumper stickers. They say a bumper sticker, don't mess with the U.S. You saw? You sold them in a parking lot. Free PTG with every sticker. Don't mess. It means don't mess with us. Don't mess with the USA. US, which means don't mess with us. You can say it a different way. I just said US, United States. At any rate, that's the world of friends and enemies. But as devotees, we try to have loving relationships with everyone and respect, as you said, it's part of humility. Love and humility go side by side. So you're trying to cultivate this essential quality of humility, as your guru is rightly instructing you. And humility, as you know, is the foundation of prema. The tree of prema grows in the roots of humility. That's why the whole Shikshastakam, Lord Chaitanya is talking about prema. That by chanting Nam and by the association of sadhus and mercy of devotees, then we can eventually attain prema. So he's explaining the terra firma, the the foundation of prema is this humility. And he gives many aspects of that in a Bengali commentary in his own words. In Antya Lila chapter 20, Lord Chaitanya is describing Trinada Pisa Nichena. What does it mean to be free from abhiman and manadena, offer respect to everyone and all persons? We just mentioned that in a recent article we'll post on our Facebook about respecting and worshipping all the living entities in Vrindavan. It's called Tadiyanam Sevanam in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. To do seva and worship of all the things related to Krishna, like Tulsi and Vaishnavas and the Holy Dham, etc. Tadiyanam. Tadiyanam Sevanam. It's one of the limbs of bhakti. So in your expression of humility you have to express in a loving way. So those devotees that are not advanced like you are or interested in the same topics you are, you just don't talk about those things with them, but still you act in a very devotional, humble and loving way with all your associates that you've collected along the route, the way of bhakti, along the road of devotion. You collect a circle of admirers and friends, close and far and intimate and social, different relationships. So you learn how to be a friend to all. Prabhupada was glorified that way. Srila Prabhupada, a friend to all. He was everyone's friend. He was a very friendly person, caring. So you don't have to eliminate devotees. Progress means elimination and acceptance. So elimination of anarthas and aparads and greed and anger and lust and envy. We have to eliminate laziness and lethargy and fault-finding. Eliminate these things from our consciousness, from our heart, and then accept all the good behaviors and good qualities and see the good in everyone. And as they say in America, if you can't say something good about someone, then don't say anything at all. But generally what we find in the modern world is the phrase is like this: say anything bad you can about someone, but never say anything good. I've had this experience in my life, that when you interact with people in general, or to speak of devotees, that somehow say something bad about someone, but never say anything good. And the world in general is like that. It's a very negative, outlooking world. And for good reason. You know, we're killing the Earth planet and everything's polluted and so much danger and fear and terrorism and extortion and exploitation and cheating. It's all negativity everywhere. The entire atmosphere, Prabhupada used to say, the atmosphere is surcharged with faithlessness. I remember hearing this phrase. The atmosphere of this earth planet is surcharged with faithlessness. People have less faith in God. Very less in Kali Yuga, practically none. What to speak of negativity? So that negativity enters into the devotee circle. So people feel negative in their minds and hearts towards other devotees, even their own intimates or friends. And it's a very hard cloud to rise above. As a plane takes off from the airport, runway, and rises above, rises in the sky, and as it rises in the sky and it passes through the various cloud layers, the plane is rocked left and right, it's rocking and it's a little bumpy there as it's rising, and then finally it gets above the cloud, all the clouds, and it's at the cruising altitude of the jet plane, which is about 10,000 meters above the ground, or 15 or so, then it's smooth ride. You don't even feel you're moving. It's like a very bizarre experience riding in a jet. You sit there and close your eyes and just hear some engines going humming along. You have no idea of space or time, no way to perceive. There's no change. There's no dimensions. You're floating in space at 650 miles an hour, 800 kilometers, whatever that is, 900, 1,000 kilometers, whatever it is, an hour. Only when you land, then you can perceive time and space. And cars and little tiny app-like cars, and oh, there's some reality beyond my dream float. My dream float at 10,000 meters. It's the ultimate dream. So to rise above the clouds of the negativity in people is very difficult. Just be all you can be, and more. You work on yourself and check your report card with Super Soul. Present your monthly report to the Super Soul and to Gurudev in your heart. Say, Gurudev, this month I tried to be humble and I did this and that. What do you think? And they can give some confirmation, keep going. Every devotee has an ongoing relationship with Guru in the heart. Chetu Guru Vapasa. The Acharya Chetu Guru Vapasa, Vapusha. The living Guru in the heart, Paramatma, and if one is fortunate to have the Diksha Guru, then he has two gurus living in his heart. Chaitanya Guru Krishna is living in the heart, and the Diksha Guru is living in the heart and mind. Because the Krishna's place is in the heart, and Guru's place is next to Krishna. So Guru is also in the heart. But Guru expands himself to sit in the mind of the devotee. So Guru sits in the mind and becomes one with the chitta of the devotee, becomes one with his words. And his thinking is Guru, his feeling is Guru, his willing is Guru. So this is the speciality of the devotee. So then we take our accounts every month, our monthly report with Guru Krishna and Guru Diksha Guru. And what the world sees, what the world perceives, misconceptions everywhere. The tendency to illusion and make mistakes is prevalent in everyone, unless one is a mukta jiva. So naturally our cohorts and companions will oftentimes misjudge us. There's intense and great misunderstanding between the most intimate, and even in the most intimate relationships on this planet, husbands and wives are the most intimate relationship available. And you find there in that lifetime of relationships, so much misconception, misjudging, and misunderstanding. It's the age. It's the time. So don't be affected by the vox populi. Keep on going. Keep on bowing. Keep on humiliating. It's nice when you get insulted and criticized. It's very good for humility. And that's your great asset when people criticize you and fault find and speak badly about you. And it becomes even better if they spread all kinds of slanderous statements and rumors about you. Then it really increases your... You genuinely cry out for the mercy of the Lord. Because by doing that, when people do that in the world to another individual, that is the greatest blessing for that individual, because it promotes his bhakti like anything. It's like a supersonic shot in the arm for bhakti. Maybe silent would be good, no?